The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts. How do we like our martial arts? We like them mixed. Woo!
Well, I mean, it's clear who the most excited person on planet Earth is for UFC Vegas 85. It is our fearless producer, E. Casey Lydon. Yes, the UFC is back at the world's most famous apex. The middleweights take center stage for the second time in a row, and they're going to do it again next week. But this week, it's Roman Dolidze taking on Nasruddin Imavov in a five-rounder at the world's most famous apex. As we welcome you to the UFC Vegas 85 preview show here at MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck. We have the wise wordsmith, my bald brethren, deputy editor, MMAfighting.com. Great website. Shaheen Alshadi, how are we doing after just the best day ever yesterday?
I'm doing good. I was cackling watching the comments roll in on Heck of a Morning. But right now, I am most concerned about Casey's voice. Casey, are you still there? That was pretty intense.
Woo!
And that was no warm-up, ladies and gentlemen. That was no warm-up. And joining us once again, Mr. No Gray Area, the hot take king himself, the Cannonball Kid from MMAfighting.com, Mr. Jed Meshew. Jed, hello, sir. What? Oh, look at that whiteboard. Thank you, Gee, indeed.
See, I think you guys are misinterpreting this. You guys are doing a lot of, you know, it's like the old thanks, Obama. Thanks, Gee, for ruining UFC 299.
Okay. I liked my version better, but it's all good. Guys, so let's talk about this. I mean, to go from Dustin Poirier's Thursday to UFC Vegas 85, it's almost like unfair for us to try to like compartmentalize like these two things happening in the same sport, in the same promotion. But we're going to get after this right now, Shaheen. We have Roman Dolidze, Nasruddin Imavov headlining this card. Co-main event, Renato Moicano versus Drew Dober, Randy Brown, Muslim Salikov, Viviani Araujo against Natty Ice, Natalia Silva, and Aliaskab Kizriev versus Mahmoud Meridov. Oh, there's more main card fights. Gilbert Urbina versus Charles Radke. That is your main card for UFC Vegas 85. And there's some prelims, Molly McCann going to strawweight and some other things we could talk about. But do we got a grade for this one, Shaheen? Can we put a number or a letter grade on your excitement levels for this one?
C minus. We'll go C minus. How about that? I mean, it's like not the worst card. I actually am pretty interested in several fights on this card. It's just the main event is perhaps the most apexy of Apex main events that we have seen in quite a while, right? Like, I don't even really know if that's a criticism as much as just like a, yeah, like this is sort of the realistic version of looking at this. But ultimately, the card itself, like, there's some nibbles there. There's some bites that you can have that, again, I'm pretty interested in some of these fights. I'm not even going to ask Jed because I know he's at like zero Michelin stars for this, but I give it like a C minus.
Jed, is there even like a fraction of a Michelin star, a crumb, anything?
No. I mean, this made me reconsider the Michelin star system entirely, because while I think it's great, I mean, it feels wrong to lump this in with 297, which was famously a zero Michelin star. Like, they're both in the same category, and that just feels rude because I don't know. Shaheen's feeling real generous with a C minus over there. Just really wants to get that kid out of his classroom. Just give it a passing grade so they can move on up. Because we have six fights. And look, some people care more about this than others. Some people think that this is very dumb. I do think that it is somewhat indicative of things. There are six fights on this 13-fight card that feature no fighters with wiki pages. You can make one yourself. You can just go make your own Wikipedia page, and like half of the fights on here don't even have that. Like, it's just, this is a lot of poop, and there are some good fights and a whole lot of poop. That's where we're at. We're about to watch Gilbert Urvina versus Charles Radke on a main card in 2024. Come on.
Is there really like a distinction between the main cards on this type of event, though? Like, isn't this all the prelims?
Spiritually. I mean, look, this entire card is the prelim for 298.
That's what I'm saying.
As is next week. But come on, you know.
I'm going to bump it up a little bit higher than Shaheen, actually. I think this is a C card. Now, look, it's tough because it's
there
never
go.
A good thing.
Now we're talking.
It's never a good thing when the main event is like the fourth most interesting fight on a card. But I mean, Hanata Moikano versus Drew Dober is going to be super duper fun. Like that fight gives it like a whole grade bump up. Natty Ice fighting always gives it like a half grade, but now you're giving her like a nice step up in competition with Viviani Araujo, and where a win on Saturday can send her. That's interesting. Molly McCann at 115 is interesting. Flyweight unders.
Mike, we're going to find out if flyweight unders are truly back. Don't you tell that lie to the people that are watching this. I was waiting to pounce because you hit the two fights that are good. And then I was like, what's he going to say for the third? Because it's not true. Oh, Molly McCann at flyweight. Come on. We've seen this fight before. Sure, it was 10 extra pounds. Do you want to watch it again? No, you don't. No one does.
Spinning back fist.
What are we doing?
Spinning back fist, buddy. Come on.
Come on. Two of them. Two spinning maneuvers to get knockouts. Randy Brown's going to be like
the
way
year
bigger
list.
Fighter against the other statesman, yeah. Muslim Salah.
Not against Diana Balbida. It wasn't knockout of the year.
I think it's going to be okay. And then there's going to be some fun scraps. Look, are we going to be talking much more about this past like Tuesday of next week? No, but
Tuesday seems super
solid
generous.
C. Yeah, look, MMA Hour needs to talk about something on Monday. Slow start to this news week. I assume next week will be the same.
I'm going to tell you, MMA Hour is probably going to talk about Dustin Poirier a little bit.
Oh, yeah. As I should.
The best things you say about this card, the co-main event, the people's main event, that fight's sick. And it's 4 p.m. 4 p.m. start time.
Love that, too.
When the start time is the second best thing about your card, it's not strong. It's just not strong, you know?
It's a C. I'm trying to be positive.
Question for Jed.
Go ahead.
Question for Jed real quick. It's been a long time since I've been at school, but if you get a D, don't you still pass? Like, isn't that, don't you not get held back if you get a D?
I truly have no idea if D is like a real grade. I don't feel like we ever got
D's definitely
like
a real grade. C's.
I mean, is it though? Like, I don't know. Also, I've been out of school for a long time, so ask one of the youths, they might know. I feel like D shouldn't be a passing grade, right? Like, that just seems bad. But
I just remember that I got one D in my life, and it was my senior year of high school when at that point I did not care. I was getting out of school at like 11:42 a.m. And my mom was very upset.
That's how the MMA media starts, with D's in high school. No wonder we can't do any good reporting.
It worked out.
Thank you.
It worked out.
Thank you, Gee. Thank you, Gee. He didn't get a D on his report card to senior year. Gee. That's for sure. Yes. So we got Roman Dolidze versus Nassourdine Nemovov Shaheen. And we often ask this question when it comes to Apexy main events, but I feel like this is a very fair question to ask, especially coming off of the ranking show where things got a little bit heated when talking about like which divisions are the most interesting. And I guess for those who were opposed to where you and I were when it comes to ranking middleweight as high as
we did. Yeah, this guy on the other side of you, who's just insane on that show. Yeah, that guy.
But I put middleweight dead middle. It's like actually very appropriate.
Bad take. It's a bad take.
Well, I don't agree with Jed Stake. A good counter argument would be this main event, because there's not a lot of steam on it. Plus, considering like what makes this division ranked so highly, with the interesting characters in it, the DDPs and the Stricklands and the Izzy's and the Hamzats and the Paul Acostas and the Robert Whitakers, for every those guys, there's the Nassourdine Nemovovs and the Roman Dolidzes. And Roman Dolidze is very fun. But this fight, outside of like the second half of a paycheck and to keep your standing at 185, like what is at stake in this fight?
So can I sell you on this fight? Because I actually am like kind of intrigued in this fight. I think this fight
that'll be more than the UFC's done.
That's fair. That's very fair. I am interested in this fight because I like to look at these things of like, okay, now you've completely thrown me off, Jed. I'm not gonna lie. So on that show, we argued that Mike and I, you argued that like middleweight's sneaky one of the best divisions in the entire sport right now, and I still maintain that just because there is so much like the absolute top of middleweight is utterly insane, but also like it's kind of developed into the division of stars in a little bit of way, right? Like. There's a lot of guys at the top of middleweight that you could headline shows with, and at least more so than a lot of other divisions. A fight like this, though, I find it to be interesting just because you see very similar paths from two people, right? Like there's a lot of parallels here that are pretty eerie. And you look at these two guys, two fringe contenders, very divergent momentums over the last 2 years, but very similar in that way, right? You look at 2022 for Roman Dolidze. Year of Roman Dolidze, really, right? He emerges from the middleweight fog, kind of finds himself at 185 after a really, really tough and grindy start to his time in this division after he moved down. He's getting these knockouts. The Kyle Daukaus one in particular was really bad. Hitting calf slicers on Jack Hermanson, winning all these bonuses, 3-0 that year. Seems like he's going to be a real player at middleweight. He's hitting his stride. And then just last year comes totally snake bitten. Lost that close fight to Vittori. I remember feeling like he won that ever so slightly. I think I scored rounds 1 and 3 for him. But either way, loses it. Danny booked against Derek Brunson. Brunson released. That fight doesn't happen. Booked against Jared Cannonier. Jared Cannonier injured. That fight doesn't happen. 2023, just a total bust for him after it seemed like it was going to be a big year for him. Now he comes into this year feeling like he has something to prove, like he belongs here, or prove that he belongs here, I should say, that this wasn't just one good run. And then you look at the other side, it's the exact same with Nemovov, right? Comes in his division, big-time prospect. Everybody's high on him. He has a couple big wins. Ian Heinisch, Edmund Shabazian, Joaquin Buckley. Sets himself up for a big, big year last year, and then just totally crashes into a brick wall as well, right? He faces the best friends duo, Sean Strickland, Chris Curtis. Neither of them go his way. And now it's just like we're at this point with both these guys where a win, I don't know that it does a lot, but it probably puts them like 2-3 wins away from title contention. But a loss is like really devastating for two people who felt like they were going to be interesting players at middleweight. And that feels stakesy to me. Like I kind of enjoy what you can build from that just in terms of the storyline. So maybe not the best main event. Again, a very apexy main event. But to me, it makes sense. And I like the idea of sort of what this could be, if that makes any sense.
Jed, what do you think? You hear Sean, his sales pitch. Do we have a creme of a Michelin star now after that sales pitch? What are your thoughts on the stakes of this?
No.
It's a fine fight. Like it's a totally reasonable fight between guys who are top 15, top 20 in the world. And that's okay. But I was going to ask you, Mike, I know that this seems crazy because of, as to Sean's point, kind of the 2022 that Roman Dolidze had, but is this sneaky a middleweighty contender fight? Like, no one cares about it. It's going to happen. It's probably going to last, you know, 20 to 25 minutes. Be kind of all over the place. They'll do a lot of every sort of fighting, but none of it will be like super dynamic. Like, Dolidze doesn't feel like a middleweighty middleweight, but I don't know, man.
Too fun for that, right? And I don't even know if like you could consider Imavov a middleweight.
Oh, Imavov's
maybe the Chris Curtis fight, but I think Jack Hermanson
is.
Oh, go back.
I believe Jack Hermanson has some fun middleweight fights. Crown right now. He does have some fun fights, but do they jump out at you, or are you like, oh hell yeah? No, it's like they just sort of subsume into the ether of middleweightiness. Like Jack Hermanson, I believe, is the middleweight king, but I'm just saying. Nasruddin Imavov wins this. He and Hermanson can fight it out for that belt. I think that's fair is my point, I guess. And like, if Roman Dolidze doesn't come out here and hit a calf slice or do something cool, I think he's at risk of sort of falling into it.
Dude, when you're hitting calf slicers on Jack Hermanson, I think you disqualify yourself from the middleweight conversation. Dude, broke a face with a knee. And I forget which knockout was that. One of those knockouts, Shaheen. Like, it was just completely devastating.
What's he done for me lately other than lose to Marvin Vettori, which is a real middleweighty move?
It's a real middleweighty move.
That was kind of a fun fight. That was kind of a fun fight. Marvin Vettori was like in a funnish fight.
I truly do not remember that fight. What we need is next week, because we just need Vettori to fight Hermanson. The winner of that is undeniably the middleweight champion of the world at that point.
It's a great point. Well, I mean, there's some stakes, and I think if you dig deep, you could find something.
What are they?
A loss will absolutely be devastating to both of these guys.
I think a win sucks for either of them. A win means they have to fight Joe Pyfrey. He's probably going to knock him out. Like, this is tough.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think a win for either of these guys, like I said, puts them like two-ish wins away from like really being in that mix. Like that's the periphery contenders. Like that's exactly what this is.
Well, according to our good friends at DraftKings, Nasruddin Imavov -175 favorite. The comeback on Roman Dolidze +145. Roman Dolidze could set the table for the Georgian MMA scene here because we got some things happening. Merab Dubal is really getting ready to fight. Ilya Topuria getting ready to fight for a world title. There's a lot happening. And Roman Dolidze could set the table here. Shaheen, does he do it in an underdog spot, or will Nasruddin Imavov get the job done? Who will get back on track?
It's tough. I mean, this feels like a 50-50 fight to me, right? It's divergent styles. You got Roman Dolidze, who's more of a power striker. He's the guy who go toe-to-toe. He'll give one to take one. And then on the other side, Imavov's more of an efficiency guy, right? Like he's more for accuracy, volume, very defensively sound, but both of them willing to fish for subs if it gets down on the ground. I tend to lean Imavov. I was really high on him until last year when it just seemed like nothing could go right for him. I think Dolidze winning would probably be the most fun result for the division. But ultimately, if you put a gun to my head and make me pick, I would say Imavov by decision. And I don't know if that result will be the most fun to watch. But like Brandon over here in the comments, I thought Roman beat Vettori. So it kind of sucks that he's even having to put himself in this position because I went back and looked at MMADecisions.com and that fight was 50-50 split. But I did notice that Jed Meshew was the only person in the world that scored that fight. 30-27 for Vettori, which feels very weird, but neither here nor there. It's just a tough spot for Roman because I
don't remember the fight. I'm sure I'm right because I'm always correct, but I don't remember that fight at all.
The fan vote on the rounds was like 92% had round one for Dolidze, and you just did not see that way. So we'll see.
I'm sorry. Are you invoking the fans? The same fans from yesterday.
Our wonderful fans.
We trust in their judgment.
Our wonderful, wonderful fans. Absolutely. Y'all are already cracking.
No, those aren't our fans. Those are the broader fans. That's just ridiculous. Our fans are talented, brilliant people. The broader MMA fan base are goons. Absolute doofuses. It's ridiculous.
Yes. Thank you for putting that up there. Before you continue on, Gene, yes, the super chat option is available. So if you want to roast Jed Meshew like we did yesterday, and a lot of you took advantage of that, or you want your comment to be the first on the screen, or you want to be the first one in line when we get to the Q&A segment, go ahead. Go ahead. I mean, I got myself a cup of coffee. Maybe the rest of us want some coffee too down the line. So go ahead. That option is there for you. Shaheen, so what is the official pick here? Where are we going?
Like I said, I lean Imavov. I think Imavov's decision, I think that's not the most fun outcome for the division. But that sort of feels where this is trending to me. Again, I'm not completely down on Imavov. I was so high on him at one point. I'm not there anymore, but I think he's still young enough that he can get this back. Roman Dolidze is kind of mid-30s. He's kind of getting to that point where, like, this is, you, if you're going to do it, you got to do it right now. I don't know, though. I lean Imavov. I don't feel super confident about it, though.
Jed, what say you?
I have no confidence either. I think I've finally swung back around to be on Dolidze, just because he's the more dynamic of the two. But I have a bet on Nasruddin Imavov by decision. I think that this fight has they're both really durable. So if this fight goes long, just Imavov's volume will probably win the day. But I've been flip-flopping all week on it. I just don't have a great read because it's a fight that isn't like, I want to watch all the tape and care about this. It's like, all right, two quality middleweights, let's see what happens. So I'm going to pick Dolidze. Don't feel great about it.
I'm picking Dolidze for something you said following UFC 297. The big takeaway, just punch really, really, really hard and you'll win. Sure. And I think Roman Dolidze will just try to punch really, really hard and steal a few rounds. Maybe we get a finish, maybe we don't. I have no confidence into how long this fight's going to go. You would have to imagine that if it goes long, it probably favors Imavov a little bit more. But I do think Dolidze is the more powerful striker. He's a little sneakier, a little craftier. But Imavov is very technically sound. And if Dolidze wants to turn this into a range kickboxing match, it's going to be a bad night for him. But don't think that's going to happen. So give me Dolidze squeaking it out, or maybe he gets a sneaky finish somewhere. But that'll be a fight. And then it'll be over, and then we'll talk about it on the post-fight show.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Before that, boy, were we going to be excited. Renato Money Moicano, who has become just one of the best pound-for-pound personalities in all of the UFC, he returns to face Drew Dober in a fight that there's just no way, Shaheen, that this fight is not going to be, at worst, very, very good. Like, we're either going to get 15 minutes of chaos, or someone's going to get out of there and get got real quick, whether it's Renato by submission or Drew Dober landing a big shot. But this fight, it just scratches me right where I itch. Do you feel the same, Shaheen?
Oh, it rules. It absolutely rules. Everything about this fight is awesome. I would submit to you, and you give me feedback on this. We're workshopping this. Does Renato Moicano have the most fun late career, just out of nowhere reinvention that doesn't involve winning a title of the last like year or two?
No. Oh, well, I guess. Yeah, maybe.
He's up there.
Who saw this coming?
That doesn't involve winning a title throws a wrinkle in it. So yeah, maybe.
I don't know, Paul
Costa. I just did not see this coming. Too. Costa's a good one. I just didn't see it coming at all, though. And like, especially for someone who like we didn't see him. We haven't seen him in more than a year. Like he didn't fight all last year. I didn't even realize that because until I was looking at, you know, the records and everything, because he just feels like he's been in our lives still. So like to be able to kind of put yourself out there and really, because like Renato Moicano for years was not a guy that we're waiting to hear his interviews and like really excited about, like, oh, what's Moicano going to be talking about? So like to be able to reach that point without even really fighting and really carrying the momentum from that tremendous post-fight speech he had in Madison Square Garden. That's a really cool aspect. And again, lightweight's always just the best division in the sport to me. This is another example that you can throw two guys who are like very periphery top 15 guys. And like, we can all be this excited about it because you give me also Drew Dober. You give me any Drew Dober fight and I'm all the way in. The best baker in MMA, some of the best hair in MMA, one of the most handsome men in MMA, and one of the most exciting fighters in MMA. Like that dude has it all. I am really, really stoked for this.
Didn't even mention the jawline.
I included that in the handsome, I guess. That was just part and parcel with it, but you're not wrong. You're not wrong. We could all learn something from that jawline. I don't know that there's a lot of stakes to this because lightweight is in such a weird place perpetually and forever, but I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it would, you know, I wish it was the main event, but then if it was the main event, we wouldn't have had Moicano being like, no one cares. It doesn't matter. This card sucks anyway. Like and doing that whole rant, which was also very fun. So I guess it's a good thing for all of us that it's not the main event.
This would be a better card if it was the main event, right? Because then we're building to it. Like after this co-main, do we care? Like it's just not going to be. It's not a fun after dinner mint or whatever that the main is. Like, okay, we still got one more, but we've already seen what we need to see. This co-main kicks ass. Good for Moicano. To your question, Sheen, I was like, I immediately just went to Jan Blachowicz, but obviously he won the belt. I kind of don't even think about him winning the belt. Just like the grift of legendary Polish power is like the funniest thing in the world to me, and I have an immense amount of respect for that man. But yeah, Moicano's like right there with dudes who have sort of reinvented themselves in this way. And he's, more importantly, he's a super fun-ass fighter. Drew Dober's a super fun-ass fighter. This fight could be less exciting than I think people think it could be. If Moicano just gets an insta takedown, Drew Dober's probably in prison. But if not, if Moicano decides to exchange on the feet or if Dober can keep it on the feet, this fight's going to get real fun real, real fast. So it's your probable fight of the night. It's the people's main event for sure. The best thing that's going on this weekend as far as combat sports. This is why you should watch. Like if you are looking for reasons, this is 1A for why you would tune into the Apex on Saturday.
Completely agree. Renato Moicano winning this fight is just going to be incredible because he'll get a microphone in front of his face and he can literally call out anybody and we'll be like, yeah, as opposed to like most fighters on the roster who would make the same call out and be like, what are you doing? Moicano calling out Conor McGregor, even though it makes no sense at all, we'll cheer him for it. That's what this man has become, Shahid. You're so right. Like the way we viewed Renato Moicano 2 years ago, just like a fun, exciting fighter, to where we look at him now, like just the money moniker, everything about it has been just brilliant. Just getting that mic in front of him in Madison Square Garden changed everything. So I think he gains a little bit more than Dober will with the victory. But it's going to be real interesting to see where Mike Moicano goes if he does finish Drew Dober, Shaheen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. And like I said, to be able to do that, to be able to execute that sort of, I don't know if it's a rise, but it's definitely a level of consistency, right? A level of like just staying in the news and staying in people's orbit. To be able to execute that without actually fighting last year is really impressive for a guy who just didn't seem to have that in him. And also, I just have to say that I love every time Moicano fights because then you see the old clip resurfacing of him submitting, I think it was Demir Hazovic in like 44 seconds, and then like getting mad at him for losing in 44 seconds and saying like, oh, I'm sorry afterwards. I'm sorry. I really just wanted to fight more. And him just being like, well, you shouldn't have submitted me then, which is just one of the all-time post-fight interviews.
Spectacular. Spectacular. Moicano, minus 185 favorite in that fight. Should be good. And Randy Brown, a big favorite against Muslim Salikov. Natty Ice, the biggest favorite on the card. Minus 355. Are you surprised by that, Jed?
No. Maybe by like the breadth of the line, right? But I mean, you're the world's number one leading Natty Ice supporter, both of the beverage and of the fighter. So you can speak more to this than we can, certainly. But look, like Viviane Araújo is a good fighter, and so she probably deserves like a little more respect from the bookies, but I get it. Natty Ice has been on a tear. She looks like she is somebody who is going to make a run, like a real legitimate run towards the top of this weight class. And so Araújo has been around a long time, never quite done that. I get it. But I mean, this is easily the third best fight on the card and one that's also one of the few that I would say are also like absolutely worth watching live.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. I'm intrigued. I think this is perfect matchmaking. I think this is exactly what Natty Ice needs. This is a good one. I'm excited to see how this all plays out. And yeah, there's like other, I guess, low key storylines. Charles Johnson just hating on the Apex. Just that story about how his wife couldn't even get a freaking ticket is just insane. Shout out. I forget who did that interview. I'll think about it. I'll remember it. Temba Garimbo back against Pete Rodriguez. I mean, Molly McKenna 115. You already saw the fight. Yeah, you know. C was probably a little generous the more
way
I talk about
way
it.
Way to go, bud. You're doing great.
We're at a curve.
The fourth fight you get to is Grimbo.
Lazy Bed's comment has me rolling over here.
What is this?
Lazy Bed's comment is cracking me up. Because you're right. Both the guy in the middle and the guy on the right would love to have hair like the guy on the left. And if I ever get rich enough, one of my first trips is to go to Turkey to get hair like the guy on the left.
This is not even good hair day right now, but it's been very positive in the comments. I just want to say for Charles Johnson, I totally get it's like a pretty tough situation. On the other hand, I hate you, and I have no sympathy for you because you refuse to get finishes in the flyweight division. So do better, and then I'll start caring more about your trials and tribulations.
Yeah, this is going to be the true test for flyweight under is this fight.
Dude, five of his six UFC bouts gone to decision. He's lost four of those, by the way. So tough scenes for Charles Johnson.
Heavyweight overs will probably be in full display with the opening.
Oh,
bouts.
Hell yeah. Oh, it's going to be that fight is going to be wretched. Oh my God. I'm so excited for how bad that fight's going to be. Thomas Peterson's like a JUCO national champion. Pogues, obviously, also like a wrestler. These two dudes are going to clinch and gas in 3 minutes, and it is going to be tough.
All right. And that's a great way to start the card, you know? Like, that's how you really want to kick things off for sure.
That's what UFC 300 needs. It needs a main card opener of just two heavyweights who are going to go a full 15. Just.
I think you're on the right track. I think you're on the right track, but I would tweak it. That's the fight you throw after the BMF title fight.
Oh, just
let us all calm down. Yeah, let us all calm down. Couple bathroom breaks. Let people
a palate cleanser before we move in. Okay, I still put Andre Arlovski on 300.
There you go. Yeah. It's that old thing, Jed. You were with me in Atlanta when we had
back-to-back
Izzy Gastelum and then Poirier Holloway, and we just weren't ready for Poirier Holloway because we were still trying to recover from Izzy Gastelum. You need a little...
It's one of the weirdest experiences of my life because I could watch it and be like, this is an incredible fight. This is one of the best fights I've ever seen, and there was no emotional connection going on because I was just shot from Izzy Gastelum. I was like, yeah, that's probably the second best fight of the year, but it followed that masterpiece in the co-main, so what the hell are we doing?
Well, maybe we'll have another historical bout of remembrance like that on this card tomorrow. Probably not, but Maybe the peeps are feeling a little more confident about that. Let's go and bring in Casey, producer extraordinaire. And let's
way to go, Max. I see Max in the comments, who's a supporter of heavyweight overs and how much fun they are.
We'll take a few questions for the next, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. Right. And remember, super chatters get bumped up to the top. So let's party on. Hey, thank you, Achilles Jr. Jed's takes are lame. Chickens can never be goats.
That's interesting.
I mean, isn't that your take, though?
Isn't that your take?
That's why I'm confused. I don't know what's going on there. But yes, that is. That's not a take. That's fucking science. Get with it, guys.
The first half of that was great, though. I agree. Jed's takes. Pretty lame.
Yeah, I got him. He had him at the first half.
Just
yeah.
Go just talk to any ornithologist you know. Chickens can't be goats. It's just fact.
All right.
For those wondering, as far as the weigh-ins go, we're just waiting on two fighters with 30 minutes to go. Luana Carolina and Viviani Araujo are the last two fighters. So
okay.
Jed, Roadhouse or this card?
That is not a question. That is not even remotely competitive. Have y'all seen the Roadhouse trailer? Like, both of these are bad items. One of them is going to be fun. The other might be okay. I'll let you parse out which one's going to be fun, but the answer is Jake Gyllenhaal on all the gas. So, yeah, Roadhouse for sure.
You agree with this, Shaheen?
I don't know, man. I'm not as like stoked on the Roadhouse thing as everybody else. It's so hard for me to see Connor in anything like this and just not see Connor. Like it's very.
He's playing weird. Connor, right? He's playing Connor.
And I'm sure it's going to be whatever. But it's just so strange to like. He's such a like. He's just been so omnipresent in our lives for so long. It's so just hard to parse that for me.
The scenes of Connor look like a documentary. It doesn't even look like it's a film. It's like, oh, this was just footage they shot in a bar.
I do have to admit, I've never seen the original Roadhouse.
Oh
it's boy.
It's not very good, but it is fun.
It's got clear.
Also, one of these things will be 2.5 hours long and the other will be substantially longer than that. So give me Roadhouse every day of the week here.
Is Roadhouse 2.5 hours long?
No, it's got...
I assume so. Like, that's pretty standard for any movie.
About 2 hours. He's adding a little bit.
2.5 hours is not standard, but that's long.
That's Spider-Man.
Yeah. I mean, are you suggesting Roadhouse is not the grand epic that is Spider-Man as well? It's ridiculous.
Ooh, the Roadhouse multiverse?
Oh. Maybe we get a little Ronda Rousey in that from What Never Happened?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Luana Carolina missed weight. Boom.
Oh, there you go. Breaking news.
There you go.
All right.
AK
129. 129 for Luana Carolina.
It's not a small amount of missing.
Hey, we got a bantamweight fight. We got a women's bantamweight fight. Yay. Here we go.
speaking of, wasn't the question predictions for the three women's battles?
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to bring that back. Here we go.
All right, so we've run them down already, but we'll run them down again. Natty Ice versus Viviani Araujo. We have Molly McCann versus Deanna Belbita 2 in the rematch everybody has been hankering for. And Luana Carolina, who just missed weight, taking on Julia Stolyarenko, who picked up the big win against Molly McCann that has essentially made her a strawweight. So, Shaheen, Carolina Stolyarenko, McCann Belbita, Natty Ice Araujo. Who wins these fights?
Natty Ice, obviously. I'll go Molly McCann as well. And always cheat, Carolina, especially now that she missed weight.
Wow. Okay. Jed, do you agree? Any differences in opinion?
Natty Ice, yeah. Molly, because she's already won this exact fight. We're going to be doing that back. And I'm going to still stick with Stolyarenko because I don't think Luana Carolina is very good. But Shaheen does make a compelling case for cheating.
It's a good point. McCann decision, Natty Ice decision, Stolyarenko submission.
How did Molly look on the scale? I didn't see
good.
It. Good.
Good.
It looked the same, but just a little, like, was there any real difference? Just visually, just look like the 25 version of her, just a little smaller, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Smile on her face.
Good. Good
for her. Tap in her step. That's all you can ask for.
Cool, cool. All right.
Also, Roadhouse is a tight 154. So.
Sure. Wait, the original, right?
No, the remakes runtime is supposed
to. Oh, they already have the runtime out. Okay.
Oh, so it is 2.5 hours.
Okay. So no, 154 is 2 hours, 1 hour and 54 minutes, not minutes total.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. This is more of a question for after the fight, but we'll hit it up now.
Ooh, do you think the winner of the co-main event gets the Patty Pimblett fight in the return to the UK this year? I don't hate that idea. What do you think about this, Jed? Are these guys battling for the Patty Pimblett in the UK sweepstakes, perhaps?
It'd be a really good matchmaking. I actually think that's a terrific idea. I'm not sure that that's what will happen, just because I don't know how the UFC kind of wants to move forward with Patty, but that would make a lot of sense, honestly, just about every aspect. I think terrific job, Eric's.
It's pretty good.
I did not even think of that at all, and it's a good idea.
I love that. I love that because both ways is fun, right? You get the lead up to a Moicano Patty would be delightful. Like, that would just be a lot of fun hearing what Moicano had to say about this the whole entire time and Patty's reaction to it. But then the actual fight itself, if it was Dober Patty, like, that's fight of the year material.
I love this idea. It's not my first choice, but it would definitely be like a very solid backup. My first choice would be just do the thing with Patty. Throw him in there with Beneil Dariush and just see what happens. Like, it's the McCann-Blanchfield type of scenario where if Patty wins, like, strap the rockets to him. You can justify any matchmaking at that point. And if he loses, then so what? He could still just be the same guy. So I like that idea. You got Dariush on a two-fight getting stopped in two straight in the first round. Like, if you're going to do something like that, like, now would be the time to do it. And if you're going to give Patty that, you know, top three, top five placement, like, that's the quickest way to get there, potentially. I'd still pick Dariush to win, but the road's much shorter and wouldn't shock me if Patty won that fight. So, yeah, this is a good plan B, though.
Yeah, no, I like Eric's idea better.
Well,
it hits me cool. My takes are lame, but
what is the worst fight card you have ever sat through, and does this card have a chance to beat it? Boy,
I think it's
extremely unlikely this is going to be the worst card I've ever seen.
The worst fight card you've ever sat through is not a UFC event.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's some sort of PFL event recently.
It's 1,000% a PFL event.
Yeah, yeah, we're all going PFL.
Actually, I don't know. There have been a couple of
There were some bad Bellator.
Cover pillar to post, particularly because the thing about like bad Bellator, post limbs are just the fucking worst. And you're like, all right, we finally got to the main event. And now here are five more post limb fights that I don't care about. And I want to be done. And it's 2 a.m. in the morning.
Why are you probably watching some of the Bellator post limbs?
Because I was covering it, Casey, and we had to
I am at Bellator events, and there's literally like no one on the Bellator staff is actually, including Scott Coker, ever watched the post-limbs. Like, literally, it was just you and their family.
Yeah, I get it. So, I think PFL has arguments, but I think that Bellator, one of the bad Bellator cards has to be the answer for me.
Yeah.
I go PFL any day.
That championship card was rough.
That was a pay-per-view, right? That was a pay-per-view. Yeah.
It wasn't great, but that was acceptable, I think. I could live on that one.
Okay. And last, what we got? Ah, here we go. Final comment.
MMA fighting made me appreciate heavyweight over so much. I'm glued to my TV watching 525 combined pounds wade through molasses. Jed, you started a movement. Like, this is the movement people are really attached to, the heavyweight overs movement.
It's just the best. Like, it's so electric because at any moment in time you could lose the bet just because they're heavyweights, but so often you just don't because they can fight for 3 minutes before just collapsing into a puddle of themselves. It's terrific. And it makes you care about fights that otherwise would be horrendous to watch. So heavyweight overs for life, boys.
You got to make your own fun.
You have to make your own fun, and this is how I've done it.
Also, I'm personally offended to Caro Man that you're throwing that up.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to bring that up, and I'm very upset too. I'm very – it's 5,000, not 500.
Yeah. You do not short this man 4,500. You do not short this man that much. He deserves his name. He has earned his name. He's not a 5,000, but also Shaheen, that is the best Shaheen, fight
we were there
in MMA history.
We were there.
We saw history, KP. I have the official event program right behind me from that event.
Baby nuts. Baby nuts came from that event. Baby
you got
nuts.
Him. When we did the dam on Kimbo, for those who haven't listened, go listen. It's terrific. we spent 30 some odd minutes talking about Kimbo Dada. Legitimately, the reason we did a dam on Kimbo is to talk about Kimbo Dada. It's one of the five best fights in history, and I'll die on that hill. Forever.
Have you ever seen
a fights of all time?
And have you ever seen a knockout where the punch doesn't actually land? It was.
I've never seen someone do an actual Ric Flair flop to just for the fight to be over. Just stumble away, step, 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 collapse. It's terrific. This is the best fight I've ever seen.
That week was just so masterful.
It was great.
I landed in Houston and Dada 5000 had just completed his open workout.
You didn't see it live?
It was the best open workout that's ever.
It was great because a lot of times because I was shooting it, you know, I like to get these like little cinematic shots and I shoot some slow mo. And if Dada 5000, I didn't have to.
That's because he was showing only what he wanted people to see. He had tricks to hide, Casey. Come on.
Kimbo Slice standing up. And threatening to pull out his kibbles and bits in front of Hoist Gracie's face, inches away from Hoist Gracie's face, was just maybe
the
top five
speed with which it happened. And then afterwards, Kimbo being like, "My bad, Hoist," like, and the mic catches it. It's all just it went from Kimbo, do you want to start? No, I'll wait till I get a question. Okay, Donna, we got a question. You fool! I promise you that. Take your nuts out, Dada. I bet you my nuts are bigger than yours. Just instantly.
That video is on
our YouTube, and it is a 90-second video, and it is the entire thing. It's incredible because he gets to it so quickly.
One of the best things about this program, I just have to say, under Kimbo Slice, Bellator has written strengths. So you'll see the strengths for Kimbo Slice. Let's see if I can do this. Yeah.
Wrestling knockout power.
Kimbo Slice, noted wrestler. That's what that man is good at.
Wrestling.
He took down Houston Alexander with like a cool suplex that one time.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
It was awesome. That
remember
fight,
the hype for Kimbo Houston Alexander? That was a moment. Ugh. These kids don't remember.
Talking about Kimbo Slice versus Dada 5000
because
Takeru
Man or whatever.
Because it's the fucking best fight. It's so fun.
We had to leave this on a good note.
Yeah. I don't think we can get any higher than this. He could hit the music, Casey.
You're never going to get higher than Kimbo Dada. Like, there are very few peaks higher than that mountain.
I just need to know when you're going to apologize to Dana White. That's what I need to know.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. You could still hit the music.
All right.
You know, perhaps I said some things that maybe I shouldn't have said, and maybe we weren't fair to Dana White. So you can full screen me, Casey. I think this needs to happen right now because I would like to take the time to apologize to absolutely nobody. Absolutely not, Dana. No apology from me. Why would I apologize? Why would I apologize? I'm never going to apologize for what I had to say. Dustin Poirier, A++++. I wish I could write plus 500,000 times. And hashtag thank you, Gee. For Shaheen Al-Shadi, Jed Bashu, Casey Lydon, I am Mike Hack. We'll be back at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow for the People's Pre-Fight Show. Thank you, Gee, once again. The man, the myth, the legend. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Gee. Thank you.
Thank you, Gee.
Love Happy you, birthday, Gee. Casey.
Oh, yeah.
Yay!
29. You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.